Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment presents The Heart of the Order, your home for baseball and fantasy baseball with your host, me, Ralph Lark. And now, let's check in on The Heart of the Order. Welcome to The Heart of the Order. So excited to be bringing you the first episode, even though we're a little late into the season. Welcome, guys. Obviously, been concentrating a lot on NASCAR, among other things, but excited. As I said, our very first venture back into the Heart of the Order. Quick episode for you tonight, got a goodie for you. We got the 9-game main slate for tomorrow, Wednesday, June 15th on tap. And then just a couple of quick reminders and we'll get you on your way here. Had to throw this pod in there because Tiger Bomb is all about winning. And we do play the sports for daily purposes that we know we can excel in. We're learning how to do it in NASCAR. We know what we're doing in football. We know what we're doing in baseball. I have to get this pod out to you guys so that you can capitalize on what I've been doing, which is crushing it so far. So I'm hoping to help turn you guys on if you haven't been activated already. But I got out of the gates to a very nice start this year. So I want to remind you guys of the things we do to win well. Before we get into that in the slate, though, just very quickly, you can find us a bunch of easy ways. www.tigerbombsae.com is the Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment page. If you're new to the show, we like first-time offenders. If you're not new, welcome back. We love repeat offenders, as you guys will all know. But that's the website where you can find us, www.tigerbombsae.com. Every podcast on the Tiger Bomb family has its own page there, or will soon. But the Heart of the Order has this page. You can click on the Heart of the Order tab and view this podcast there, or listen to it, I should say. Now, you can also catch our DFS bylaws. We'll talk about that in a second because that's on that page, too. But that's one way to get us. Now, you're obviously listening to this, maybe some of you in an app. And so anywhere you listen to your podcast, you can catch us, too. Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, does not matter. Just go ahead and search for Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment. You can like and subscribe, and then you catch the Heart of the Order as well as I said, football, the process, or NASCAR, pit row, or the true crime, what happened. We're bringing a lot of different elements for whatever you guys like, and so that's an easy way if you want to listen to your podcast on the go. Social media, you can catch up with us too. Facebook, pretty easy. You can search for at Heart of the Order and the number one, so at Heart of the Order 1. You can catch our Facebook page, link to the Tiger Bomb main page as well. Stay up to date with the post there. We'll post the podcast there too. But then also you can catch us on Twitter if you're a baseball fan at H of the OTBSAE. Once again, that is at H of the OTBSAE. So there you got the social media, you got the apps, you got the website, all the ways we can stay connected. As I said on the website, if you're jumping in the DFS first, or for the first time, or coming back in after a little break, remember the rules and bylaws. They are for you there on that page, right? So the things that we want to reference, weather, stacking, all that, don't start playing without reviewing that. This is that's a precursor to this info. So assuming you've already done that, you're ready to get down into it. Now, as NASCAR takes a few weeks off, just a reminder, guys, we'll come back with another Heart of the Order episode very soon, presumably this weekend, so we can just do a little bit here and there for each team, talk a little bit about each team, nuance, what we're seeing, players we want to pay attention to. We want to make sure you guys know about people like Michael Harris II and Nolan Gorman, respectively of the Atlanta Braves and St. Louis Cardinals. But that's for another day. Today, we're just getting into these picks for tomorrow's main slate. It's 9 games in the evening. So, at that, take it away. It's a Wednesday. Weather concerns? None. Clear skies. Some wind in a few games, but nothing to fear otherwise. Weather and parks we like. Toronto for the dome. Colorado, we know the ball flies out because of the elevation, 5,000 feet up. It's also going to be very hot in Colorado, so we just love that added profile. Chicago, Cubs game should be very warm. It should be in the upper 80s, maybe 90, and the wind's blowing out a lot tomorrow. So those are the conditions that we favor the most, those three. going into the first game, Tampa Bay Rays at the New York Yankees, over under 7 runs. And mind you, guys, I'm doing this the night before, obviously, so these lines may change. But the line is New York minus 140, 72 degrees, 11 miles per hour, left to right winds. For the Yankees, I really like a lot of these guys as tournament. Wouldn't say any of you guys are cash game play today because the Tampa Bay Patriot, McClanahan, isn't that bad. He's got, you know, pretty decent profile, so we don't want to go pick on him. But there's an opportunity for some runs, and if you want to stack up some Yankees, you can do that. Maybe leave Hicks off, but if you want to go a 5-man stack on DK, you can do DJ LeMahieu, Aaron Judge, Anthony Rizzo, Gleyber Torres, Jose Trevino. I would probably play those guys. Play Hicks if you like. You can leave off one of those guys and play Hicks if you like. Totally up to you. But I would probably go with the first 5 and maybe just try to stack it that way if you want. I don't think you need to get overexposure to this game that has an over-under of 7 runs, right? But if you want to, if you have some inkling one way or the other, like you're like, I just believe in the Yankees, then those are the ones you go with. I actually like McClanahan as a strong tournament play. And so what I would say is you could go with him, but then also for their bats, I like center fielder Kevin Kiermaier as a tournament play, and then second base Vidal Bregman as a tournament play too. You could easily just go first base Rizzo, center field Kevin Kiermaier, second base Bregman for a tournament and just leave everyone else off. Like I said, it's an over under 7 runs. If you want to do that, would not be mad at you. Could also stack Yanks against McClanahan, like I said, and then also play him against them in another lineup. Both of these teams represent some strikeout opportunity, and we have 2 pitchers with strikeout ability with a 7.5 or 7 rather over under total for the game. So lefty on lefty crime is the only real opportunity here for the bats, with Rizzo having the least chances of being struck out and Kiermaier the most of the 3. Next game, Atlanta Braves at Washington Nationals. Over under is 9.5. So a lot more runs here. It's almost 10 runs. We want to pay attention to that. The line here is Atlanta minus 180. 84 degrees with winds blowing 7 miles per hour left. Pitching, I like on the Nats side, Fetty for tournaments. And then for their bats, I like Juan Soto at first base, Josh Bell for tournaments. And then the catcher, Kevin Ruiz, we can invest with him too. So those are the 3 guys plus the pitcher. On the Braves side, and those guys are all tournaments. On the Braves side, we do like Orlando Arcia as a tournament play, Marcelo Zuna as a tournament play. But first base, Matt Olson, you can play him in a safer scenario, so cash if you like. Strider has been good, has good strikeout stuff. And unfortunately, the Nats are just a bottom 5 strikeouts per game as a club team. So they'll fly out, they'll ground out, they'll go in the double plays, they'll even sacrifice and or bunt. But most likely, they do not strike out. So Strider's upside is capped a bit, even though we've used him lately. Fetty, on the other hand, begs to be gambled upon for this slate. He has a lead upside strikeout to right-handed hitters at home in what will be a right-heavy lineup for the Braves, who happen to be struggling on the road versus right-handers this year. With many in the lineup trending in the high 20% to low 30% strikeouts in this scenario. Bear in mind, while the Braves are good and coming on as of late, they're still leading the league as a squad in an average number of strikeouts per game at just under 10. Fetty may hit some bumps in the road, but should also provide value via Ks to make up or cover. He should be cheap and low-owned. Next game. Baltimore Orioles at Toronto Blue Jays, over under 9.5 runs. Line is Toronto minus 320, big favorites. We're in a dome, no weather. For the Blue Jays side, we like Jose Berrios. That's a cash game selection. We really like George Springer in the outfield. That is a lock 'em up smash pick. We like Bo Bichette at short. Vlad is a tournament play on this slate at first base. And then Teo Oscar Hernandez, also a tournament play. But I'm very sure about Alejandro Kirk and Chapman as well. So if you know the cash game plays would be Springer, Bichette, Kirk, Chapman. Tournament wise, you can mix in Guerrero or Hernandez as you wish, or one or the other. On the O's side of things, the Orioles, I just like Stowers in the outfield, but I'm pretty sure on him. So you can play him at a cheap value to fit bats into your cash game. O's are bad, and Zimmerman can be attacked liberally from both sides of the plate is the gist of it. In addition to his struggles, The Jays do not strike out as much as a group and offer many dangerous bats for a mediocre left-hander at home. I like Vlad the least of all these suggestions, but fire away. On the other side of things, there won't be much resistance to Berrios. He doesn't strike out guys in an elite level, but he'll be good enough here coming off of a nice outing and facing a weak lineup that loves to punch out, so serve him up. Oakland A's at Boston Red Sox. No line or over-under yet, but about 68 degrees is what we're looking at. Winds 5 mph left to right, so shouldn't be a big deal. James Caprillion surprisingly has been dealing on the road to righties at least. Definitely won't pick on Boston with him, but I'm not too keen on attacking James here with the right-heavy Boston lineup and lefties like Franchy Cordero and Alex Verdugo just not having great splits for this matchup. Devers is a lock, and Bradley offers intrigue at a very low price. Xander and JD become more valuable with Caprillion out of the game, hence the tournament play, as they should see righties from the A's bullpen. So for the Red Sox, we like Devers as a smash play. Bogarts as a tournament play. Jackie Bradley, we can play him safely for cash as a cheap value. And then Martinez would be another tournament play in the field. For the A's, they won't put up much of a fight, I don't think, even though they get the park shift in their favor. Winchkowski has to be in play today because Oakland is so bad at the dish right now that he has to be a tournament play at such cheap pricing because of all the possible upside. He's 5K on DK today. Of course, as a rookie, the A's could get to him, but I just don't see him imploding versus the lineup. So we should be able to take a few bullets and press on. Can't be a cash play because we don't have a ton of big league data with the kid's profile yet, but he can be played with higher price pitching options in tournaments to be able to afford more costly bats. Seth Brown is the most interesting A's bat by far. I will make an effort to play him, but I won't feel bad if I need to leave him off. I won't feel bad if I need to leave off the other two guys for whatever reasons. Those other two guys being Lowry and Betancourt. So for the A's, I like catcher, Christian Betancourt, tournament play. Jed Lowry, second base tournament play. Seth Brown, outfield tournament play. Brown, the strongest of the three. Next game, Milwaukee Brewers at the New York Mets. Over-under of 7.5 runs here. The line is Milwaukee minus 125. 71 degrees, wind blowing, 12 mph left to right. Oof. That could make some static. Now, as far as the Mets go, for the pitcher, we like Dave Peterson as a tournament play. And then for their bats, we like Starling Marte in the outfield, Francisco Lindor as shortstop, and then Pete Alonso. At first, those are all tournament plays, including the pitcher. On the Brewers side of things, we like Corbin Burns as a tournament play. And then Yelich is a tournament play. And Victor Caratini is probably safer. That's the safest catcher play I have today. Corbin Burns is real good. We all know this. He's got a park upgrade here, even though the Mets are pretty disciplined at the plate. He is a high upside strikeout guy that I don't think reaches full potential today, but should be a nice play for the tournaments since he is expensive and the Mets have been good and they are at home. The Mets bats I like may just be hoping for scraps until after Burns is out, but it's worth a tournament lineup if you can stack these three Mets. Play Burns, though. David Peterson is equally in play. The Brewers have a penchant for striking out, but they also haven't hit lefties well on the road. Not to mention the park will play well for Peterson at home. Brewers only have a couple bats that could easily rout Peterson. He's a good play. He is as good a play as Burns, because although Burns is the better of the two by a mile, Peterson does have more strikeout upside. Burns' matchup will be slightly tougher. Either is a fine tournament play, but there will be value on the slate. So if you want to go with the cheaper option with more upside, we do have those options available today. Wind might also be a factor, blowing left to right over 10+ mph. So there's some variance for sure in that one. Next game would be the Pittsburgh Pirates at the St. Louis Cardinals. Over-under 8.5 runs. Line St. Louis minus 165. 95 degrees. Wind blowing out 11 mph. It's warm. And the ball should be flying out. I forgot to mention this one in the weather earlier, but we love this one in the weather. Cards, get Jay Flaherty back. He's a tournament play for us. But as far as their bats go, Goldschmidt is a great play for cash games. Arenado, smash play. Tournament plays for the Cards are Yepez in the outfield, along with Nolan Gorman at second. For the Pirates, they have some tournament plays. It's Marcano at second, outfielder Brian Reynolds, and then first base Daniel Vogelbach. Excuse me. Rosenseed Contreras probably won't have fun versus the Cardinals. Paul Goldschmidt's Rockstar World Tour makes a pit stop at home. Don't miss the show. On the other side of things, Jay Flair's back, baby. We have scouting reports confirming he's back. I want to play him now while everybody else waits to quote-unquote see. It's a tournament play because he's just starting this year, but I feel more confident about him than I do these bats against. You also may game stack this one with it being so warm and the ball or in the wind expected to be over 10 miles per hour blowing out, right? So if you want to, you can just mix those bats that I set up together, try to attack the weather. San Diego Padres at the Chicago Cubs, over-under, not set yet, nor is the line, but it should be about 88 degrees with the wind blowing out 16 miles per hour. So you guys know why I like that one, as I said earlier. Chicago pitcher, Killian, cash game, lock him in. They have some bats we can use, too, for tournaments. Morel at second, Contreras at catcher, Happ at outfield, and then Wisdom at third. Those are all tournament plays. Padres side of things, I really only like Manny Machado, and that's a tournament play. Now, I don't believe Ryan Weathers gets blown up today, but I also do not want to use him. These Cubs are a pure tournament play, as they could all whiff and miss all day, but these Cubs all have a pretty good WOBA, WRC+, and ISO ratings. Lower batting averages make these tournaments, guys, but these advanced metrics show what can happen if one of them grabs hold of one of the Weathers pitches today. So worth a shot, as they'll be low owned, I'm thinking. The wind is blowing out a ton, so with 16 miles per hour aiding the ball's flight, let's take a chance on a stack that we bring back with Machado, perhaps. Okay. As far as Killian goes, per MLB.com, scouting grades, middling, but he's got a fastball, curveball, cutter, changeup, control. And he's got, you know, decent control. An eighth round pick out of Texas Tech in 2019. Killian didn't give up an earned run in his 16 inning pro debut and was one of the better pitchers in the Giants Instructional League program after the pandemic. An eighth round pick out of Texas Tech, He's one of the Giants Instructional League program better pitchers after the pandemic shut down in 2020. He led the minors in K's to walk ratio, 8.6 in 2021. His first full pro season, dominating in the first 3 months before San Fran dealt him an outfielder Canario to the Cubs for Chris Bryant. He got COVID-19 shortly after that and missed the final month. Then he returned to excel in Arizona Fall League. We struck out 8 and 6 perfect innings to win the championship game. Killian got stronger during the pandemic layoff and added more power to his pitches. He now works at a 94 to 98 mile per hour with his four-seam fastball with riding action and 90 to 96 miles per hour with his two-seamer with sink. And his ability to command his heater helps it play as a plus offering. His upper 80s slider is slightly better than his upper 70s curveball, though both are solid pitches, and he's also refining a low 80s circle changeup. He's got a lot going. Killian repeats his athletic delivery well, allowing him to provide quality strikes and locate each of his four offerings where he wants. Club officials acknowledge that he's even better than they realized at the time of the Bryant trade. He should crack Chicago's rotation at some point in 22 and eventually could settle in as the number 3 starter. Well, we've gotten to that point. Tells me to fire him up. This report matches what I've seen in my research, and I'll be excited to watch this one personally. Extreme K upside, and the Padres are not hitting right-handers well on the road at all. Only Manny Machado seems to pose an imminent risk for the price of Killian. Cubs have a very good thing here. We'll see if he gets moved or sticks around, because the upside is absolutely stellar. He's 6,400 on DraftKings versus Padres, so he should be low-owned, but the price can only go up if he is who we think he is. Get in there today and always talk about that time when. Next up, we have the Cleveland Guardians at the Colorado Rockies, and the over-under is 11.5 games. The line is Cleveland at -115. It's 90 degrees, with the winds just blowing a little left to right. Warm one here, as we said. Rockies, we like Connor Joe in the outfield as a tournament play, but Brendan Rodgers at second can be locked in. Guardians, we like Jose Ramirez as a tournament play, but first base, Owen Miller can be locked in. Andrew Jimenez, we like him for cash games too at shortstop. These are the lesser priced guys that'll fill out our cash game lineups. Now, Connor Pilkington is still looking to find his way on the road. The total feels high here for a Colorado team to be facing a lefty at home. I know they might not strike out much, but they aren't doing much with the baseball either. He could end up being fine, Connor that is, but his price is $6,600, which makes him irrelevant as we like cheaper guys in better spots with more upside. 11.5 total just feels high here, but it has to do with the temp and the air being so thin already. Gomber, meanwhile, can't be used because he gives too much contact and does not strike out many batters at all. Cleveland won't go wild, but Gomber just doesn't offer upside. Cleveland Guardians average the least amount of strikeouts per game as a club. Play the under. I don't know where 11.5 runs are coming from, even if they hit around the bases. Sorry. And finally, we have the Los Angeles Angels at the Los Angeles Dodgers, the Battle of L.A., Battle of 405, over under 11.5 runs. Line is L.A. Dodgers minus 195, 76 degrees, wind blowing out 6 miles per hour. Pretty cozy for us here in Los Angeles. Dodgers pitcher Tyler Anderson, we like him. You can play him as a cash game consideration. And then they have three players we can plug into pretty comfortably as cash game plays. Betts in the outfield, Trey Turner at shortstop, and Chris Taylor. For the Angels, we like Trout and Rendon. Those are cash plays. We also like Ringifo as a tournament play at second. It would seem the splits are in favor of Reed Detmer, but the Dodgers are just too good at home in certain scenarios. I'll rely on those bats to chase him from the game and open things up for the rest of the lineup with right-handers from the Angels bullpen. Leave off Taylor if you like, but I'll try to get exposure to all three of these guys in an LA Dodger stack. Tyler Anderson is also available, as the Angels are willing to supply the strikeouts. I'd almost prefer to game stack this one if I'm not playing Anderson. Anderson is a pretty safe play, though. Guys, that's what I have for you for tomorrow. So I'm going to retire for the evening, but I will try to update the website because I'll have this on the website as well. So if you go to the Heart of the Order page, if you don't want to listen to it, if you want to read it while you're at work, you can do that too. So if I make any updates, I'll do it there in terms of like those over-unders that were missing or if something else stands out last minute to me. But this is where I'm going, and you guys have all my info. So tomorrow you can do like me, set your lineups. Get in there tonight, pick your contest tonight, then go back and set your lineups. All right, guys, until later on in the week, peace. And so that will do it. I will say all in all, like, you know, for us World Series, I think it can be Yankees, Dodgers for sure. And I think the Yankees are going to win. They're just way too stacked. But that's our little season preview. Hopefully we get a season. I'm really worried that, you know, 3-4 weeks go by and we get shut down again. But we'll have to see. And we'll have to hope that that doesn't happen. In the meantime, enjoy your baseball. Enjoy watching your team. Who cares if there's not people in the stands? At least we're getting to play right now. So that's pretty exciting. Let's enjoy that while we can. Same thing when the other sports start back up. Heart of the Order is going to be going strong. Like I said, we'll have shorter episodes, a lot shorter than this. We're going to just be doing a lot of the DFS stuff. And then if I need to pepper in other whatever, we'll do that too. But that's not going to take too long on a daily basis. And so that's how we'll spend our time. We're going to start tomorrow taking a look at that slate on the DFS side. And again, I'm not going to throw a lot of numbers. There are no numbers. I'm not going to sit here and talk to you about last year. The circumstances around this year are so special that let's look with our eyes. Let's take into account what we're seeing. Of course, we can take into account historical statistics. I did today, but on a limited basis right now until we have more data to work with. So we'll go over to the tomorrow slate in case people are looking to play some Sunday FanDuel or DK. And then that's pretty much it, y'all. Peace. I'll see you next time.